This is Russ. This is all about the prayer manual. We're on the page in your workbook anyway that would involve, it's page 7 in the workbook, and it involves becoming powerful in prayer, powerful in witness, and fierce in the context of prayer too. And you'll see why I say that when I come to that. Let's start with number 1 on page 7 in the workbook, in becoming powerful in prayer. Don't forget also to find all of this shatterthedarkness.net if you go to the main page and scroll down under the free courses area. You'll see that there always. The website comes out to being shatterthedarkness.net. And then when you click on the prayer manual there, it's slash page 40. So you always get that there. Hey, welcome again. Maybe you've already prayed it up today and gotten ready for this. So in the workbook itself, page 7 of that workbook, becoming powerful in prayer, becoming powerful in witness, and become fierce and join millions. Now, number 1 today is simply becoming powerful in prayer. Let me read something to you out of James. I don't know if you read this before in the book of James, but I think that it's incredible to me that God would give an example, an Old Testament. I mean, we look at Elijah as this great, incredible, powerful man of God. He's just an astounding servant of God, obviously. And he's going to do this, we're going to read what he did. I mean, if you look at his entire life, well, look at verse 17, chapter 5, James. Elijah was a man subject to natural passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and it brought forth its fruit. Now, you can go read the context of that in the Old Testament, and it's incredible to see Joshua pray, the sun stand still. It's incredible to see Elijah pray and fire come down in the context of that battle with the demonized, demon-worshipping prophets of Baal. So in the context of spiritual warfare, we see this happening. Now, we read this in verse 19, and we've got to realize, I mean, it begins in verse 16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. See, that's a normal thing in the body of Christ. That's a normal thing that in the context of our walk, in the context of our living, that we pray for cleansing, 1 John 1:9, but it also then involves healing. Healing, as we read in this chapter, is a very, it's the norm of the church. It's included in, well, the ministry of Jesus, the ministry that he released the disciples in. Now, a lot of Western Christianity has cut that off. And there's been many that try to revive and misuse and do a lot of things, but I simply want you to hear this. Powerful in prayer includes a lot of things for the salvation of souls, number one. It involves healing and deliverance and God's intervention. Ask and you will receive. Seeking you're going to find. Knocking the door is going to be open. You know, ask and receive. So these prayers involve advancing the cause of Christ, advancing the kingdom of God, which, number one, is the salvation of lives. We read in Ephesians 6. Matter of fact, if you're to study from the book of Romans on, even in the book of Acts, almost all the prayers prayed, almost all the prayers listed, almost all the prayers requested, well over 95%, is all about the body of Christ, praying for the body of Christ, praying for one another. It's all in that context. Now, the foundation of praying for the lost is 1 Timothy 2. We see Paul have that in front of the king. He would and would want everybody to get saved. I mean, that's, as a believer, I mean, that's just simply true. I want everybody to get saved. I want everybody to know God, Christ. And that's why he came, to save us. And that's important for us in all of our praying. Now, if the church, let me just ask you again, if you know this in your church, if the church is not every single week praying for lost souls, praying for the city, and encouraging moms and dads and everybody else to pray for the lost, I mean, if that's not happening, then I think, again, there's a sense of loss of mission, loss of the purpose, loss of the passion even. If this is the central reason why Jesus came, and if it's God's will that none should perish, 2 Peter chapter 3, we can read about that. You can even read in 1 Timothy 2 in the context of praying, that it's good and pleases God. When we pray for the lost, when we pray for the lost to be saved, when we look at the will of God that he wants everyone, pos anthropos is the Greek words, meaning all humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So in that call for prayer and intercession there, and supplication, general prayers, specific prayers in 1 Timothy 2, then we have, it's in the context. In the context of those first six verses, it's all about salvation. It's all about what God wants in saving people, and that's why Jesus died, and that's why we see it expressed in 2 Timothy, also, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 3. It's vital for us to have that. Now, we may want to become powerful in prayer in our own lives to see God do things, and I agree with that. Look at the psalm writer, how many times he prays for himself, prays for deliverance, prays for God's intervention, prays for God's help, clearly pours out his pain. Now, I love reading the psalm writer because it shows me that I can pour out my pain, pour out the heartache, pour out everything, explain things to God. I mean, just lay it out before God God, when we're really crying out and praying earnestly, like we read here about Elijah in James 5, earnestly he's praying. He sought God, and it's an amazing thing that his prayers involve the stopping of rain for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, it's attributed that the rain came, and gave forth the, it's, the rain, the sky did, and then the earth brought forth its fruit. Now, I just think this is an astounding thing. Now, you're going to also, and I'm going to constantly say this verse, and you'll hear me say it again and again, pray that you will remember it too. It's Ephesians 3:20-21, and it's now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Greek word, hyperekperiesu, meaning it's just beyond calculation, immeasurable. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So listen, you're saved by the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God, Hebrews 4, power. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the sense of your new nature. I mean, take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power, that new nature in you, has given you everything you need for that Christ-like life and to be devoted to God and to be powerful. You got a new nature in you. And I want believers to know how powerful that new nature is. More powerful than Satan, more powerful than your old sin nature, more powerful than all of that. And we've got to appropriate, based on the Word of God, these truths in our lives. So when I talk about becoming powerful in prayer, powerful in witness, powerful in being radically fierce against evil, which again, the church has lost this. You don't see the local churches, you don't see most Christians praying against abortion, praying against human trafficking, praying against satanic rituals and ritual abuse, and praying against the drug scourge. There should be, now I'm going to say this, could you imagine 200,000-300,000 churches? Because the mission is the same. When the local churches, local pastors, local denominations, or even nationwide denominations, when they lose relationship with God, they're going to lose mission. They're going to forget what the mission is. And when they forget the mission, then you're going to see an absence of power, an absence of Acts chapter 4, the hand of God. You're not going to see Acts chapter 4. You're not going to see that kind of prayer. You're not going to see the whole body standing up and bellowing out and pouring out with earnest and passionate prayer for the lost, for the city you live in, for the churches, for revival, for God to bring all of his power for healing, for deliverance. You're going to see, you're not going to see any of that when denominations that have gone defunct, and even local churches can, Sardis did, Laodicea did in the book of Revelation. One was once alive, became dead. One other one had no idea that it was completely off the tracks. It thought it was okay, and Jesus said, no, you're poor, you're blind, you're pitiful, you're naked. And the problem is, if subnormal Christianity, powerless Christianity, where the Word of God and the works of God, the Word of God and the miracles of God, the Word of God and the power of God is not operative together. It's what it's meant to be in Jesus' life, in his teaching. Even in Acts chapter 1, it's all about what Jesus began to do, his works, and teach his word. And so we live that way too. We're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance, by the way. It's all, God's already designed the mission. There, you cannot come up with a greater mission. You cannot come up with a greater purpose. God's mission is vital, necessary, and it expresses the love of God, the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So if anyone believed in him, they would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17 in John 3. God sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. God's here till the end with all of his power, all of his presence, the living Savior operative. Listen, you know, in the midst of your praying, I'm going to say this in your life, in the life of two or three people with you, if you have a prayer group, and your local Bible study, your teams, more than anything, let's get, you know, we have lots of meetings. Let's get, gather and then go, gather and go, gather and go, gather and take teams out. Sometimes it only takes two. There's times when I didn't have a team member. I went door to door by myself. I went on the streets by myself. I witnessed by myself. That's when you know your relationship with Jesus is very strong, your love for him, and your obedience. So if you want to become powerful in prayer, you love Jesus, you're growing deep in him, and it's obedience. John 15 spells it out. That's how you demonstrate your love. That's how you grow deep in him. That's how you, I think it's very clear between John chapters 12 and 14. If we love him, Jesus said, we're going to obey his word, and the Father and he will come make their home. The depth of his presence is connected to you as now saved, empowered believers. Our obedience to the Word of God. It's a demonstration we love him. It's a demonstration that he's first. And so I'm going to say that you cannot become powerful in prayer. You cannot be a powerful witness. You cannot become fierce against radical evil if you don't have a powerful, growing relationship to Jesus under his lordship. You know, that if we don't take up the cross, deny self and follow him, we can't even be his disciple. So that's really when we got to come back down to square one. Subnormal, powerless Christianity. What's the evidence of subnormal Christianity? There's no express power. We barely see anybody get saved. Almost nobody gets healed. We never hear about deliverance. We don't see any miracles, workings, powers of God. And the Word of God is very light and basic. A lot of careful fearfulness too. And so the church becomes enculturated and much like the world. And then when it becomes like that for so long and believers think, well, that's the norm. Well, that's very scary. Sardis and Laodicea, it's possible that local churches have been subnormal so long that subnormal Christianity becomes normal. Well, it seems to be. And Jesus sets it straight with Laodicea. He's telling them, no, you're not all right. No, you're not good. You are absolutely abnormal, poor, blind, pitiful, naked. Good news, Jesus shares how to get back. And that's important for all of us. He's here with us every day, every moment, unceasing, unbroken, operative in our lives, same every day, yesterday, today, forever. He's here, that throne of God, the mercies of God every day. So if you want to become powerful in prayer, I'm going to say this. It's all about your relationship. If you love the Lord, if you believe in, if you're walking in obedience, well, then you're John 15, when Jesus is speaking, You know, if you abide in him and the word of God abides in you, then you can ask for anything you want. Your prayer life's going to become miraculous. And it's meant to be. I'm going to say very clearly, biblically speaking, you are meant to bear the works, do the works of Jesus. And that includes prayer answers that are miraculous, prayer answers that invade what seems to be the natural, prayer answers where God is intervening. There's an example, again, I'll give of the book of Acts, the little household, Mary's household, they're praying, well, they're there, and Rhoda goes to the door, of course, to answer it when the knock is there, but they're praying and praying and praying for Peter. Peter's in prison. Peter has guards. Peter's locked in with iron-barred gates. They're praying. Now, that group is praying, and again, we can talk about when two agree on touching anything. Two or three gather in his name. There he is, you know, a very manifest sense of his presence. He's ready to work and be operative. And that includes ministry to us, but it has also the idea that as we then, look at Mary, look at that household praying for Peter. They didn't know that God released an angel. That angel went and woke Peter up, told him to get his clothes on. The chains fell off his arms and legs. The guards must have been put to sleep or phased out. I don't know what was done to the guards. They didn't stop anything. And the iron-barred gates, the scripture says, opened all by themselves. That's all miraculous. That's all incredible. That is all the astounding interaction. And that's what they were. They were just believers gathering, interceding for Peter in the context of persecution. And God stepped in. So I'm going to say again, God is the God of earthquakes. Paul and Silas in a prison. They're praising God. They're praying. God sends an earthquake and breaks open the jail cell doors. That earthquake was so powerful, it unlocked jail cell doors. And you know what happens there, the guy, the jailer gets saved and all the things that occur. But that's all in the context of prayer. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer raised the dead, healed individuals, and in Acts 4 brought such power of God that even the building shook. So I'm going to tell you again, you're growing in Jesus. Your love of him, you're looking into the word of God. That's inseparable. If you're growing in the Lord, you're in the Word. If you're loving Jesus, you're obeying the Word. If you're going deep and becoming strong and powerful in that relationship with Jesus, as has been designed for you, you're designed for it. You're designed to come out of the fear, come out of the weakness, come out of the all of that, lack of knowledge and so forth. You're called to be filled with the knowledge of God. You're called to be walking in the inseparable, unceasing presence of God. You're called to do the works of Jesus. Again, Ephesians 2:10. And when you see that, now, so that's why I say there, in becoming powerful in prayer, you are meant to be. You are meant to be that. And by salvation alone, by Jesus' teaching in John 15, we can read the same thing basically in 1 John 3. Loving God, obeying God. And when that's operative, the prayer life is powerful. And the prayer life is intended to be, and that our joy would be full in the context of prayers Jesus taught. Background foundation powerful in prayer, John's Gospel, chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And, you know, beginning to look into the book of Acts, and the miraculous things that occurred, the interventions that occurred. So you can become powerful in prayer out of relationship to Jesus, your deep walk with him. And you're abiding and living in him, and his word clearly living in you. The two go hand in hand. And you just accept and you acknowledge, I've been designed for this. I'm God's workmanship, created and designed in Christ Jesus to do good works, which includes, those are the miraculous, astounding, powerful ways. It includes signs and wonders, miraculous things, miracles, even astonishing things, as we read in the book of Acts. Prayer brings in mass revivals in regions and entire areas and even nations at times. And hundreds of millions need to get saved. And there's a correlation between praying and many getting saved. There's a correlation between a powerful praying church where then God is manifest in many different ways in that local church. So it all comes down to obedience. How can you do that? Obedience. Obedience to Jesus, obeying the word of God and love for him, and going and persevering and being earnest in that. Mark down again Hebrews 11:6. Not only is it impossible to please God without faith, you know, if you're gonna come to him, you gotta believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Now, I mean, we all know God is. If we're saved, we know God. We're in relationship. But God wants us to believe what kind of God he is. He not only exists, we're not only saved, but he's the God that rewards. He's the God that gives. I think James 1 teaches that. Generous in giving wisdom. So the miraculous things now unto him was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And that involves intercession. That involves praying for the lost, praying for others, praying for God's intervention, praying for God, for churches and individuals and leaders and literally just, you know, wherever you're at. I don't care if you're on a bus. I don't care if you're on an elevator. I don't care if you're at work. If you're in your car 10 minutes before you go into work, you're praying. When you take this prayer map, this prayer, big, massive prayer list that you got, and you begin going through it, and you're right. I mean, you're going to have names down there for all the lost people around you. You're going to see how many names, you know, you're going to be able to put down there. When you have the passion for the lost that God does and that God demonstrates in all the spirit-filled lives, every spirit-filled person in the book of Acts was out to win souls, win lives. We'll talk about that in a moment in the next one, part two of this, or number two on this page. Intercession. And spiritual warfare, you got to believe, you got to realize in obedience to Christ and all the word of God and learning all the word of God, appropriating your authority that is given you, Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Having the armor of God on and being strong and powerful and mighty, you know, God's might being manifest in and through your life. So that's vital. You're designed for it. This is what's needed. God gives you all the elements. Promises, examples, word of God, and inspiration of the Spirit of God today before the throne. Remember, come boldly before the throne. Come in faith before the throne. You're coming to pray. God wills the answer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And you don't go away till you get the answers. You don't stop it unless God speaks definitively and God diverts or moves or says something else. You're there to pray until it's in your hand. That's how prayer works. That's the story of the parable. The guy that went to bed at night and a buddy came from next door knocking on his door. Why? Because another traveler came. And there was need of food. There was need there. And the guy that came to the next door neighbor that had already been gone to bed, he's knocking and knocking and knocking, and the guy saying, kind of go away. What's the teaching about that parable? The seeming reluctance of God? Jesus blows that away. God is not reluctant. God commends shameless persistence. God intends to answer. God set prayer up for the answer. God set prayer up as the vehicle by which miracles and signs and powerful things and the hand of God moving to advance the church, to strike down darkness, to show triumph, to bring an incredible work. And we're here to pray that way all the way to the end. So he's the same today, no different, as you're here. Before that throne, the most powerful location you can, just closing your eyes, I'm before the throne of God. That's biblically true. I'm coming boldly, freely, by the blood of the Lamb, of course. And I'm coming in Jesus' name, Father. And I'm standing here and I believe this word of God. You're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask. I'm coming and offering and yielding my life. I want to be powerful in prayer. Fill me with the power of the Spirit of God that will move mountains even. And I'm not going away till I see the astounding works of God. Now, it's incredible that every single believer can become powerful and the miraculous from the hand of God can come about. Now, think in terms of local churches. When all those pastors, when all those growing believers gather together on a Sunday and you lead them for the minimum a half hour of massive intercession like Acts 4, and you lead them to pray out, you lead them to intercede, you lead them to do all of that, some of the things that are, that's why it takes, when, you know, of course I could, in a hallway, somebody asked me to pray, I pray. I pray over the phone with somebody. I could pray in the car when something comes up. I have prayed walking up the stairs when something came to my mind. But I also know the dedicated time when I'm going to just carve out everything else. I'm going to meet with God, no greater person to meet with. I'm going to be before the throne, no greater place. And here's the place of power. The Spirit of God will guide me. Promises are all mine. The examples build my faith. And when you begin to get answers left and right, obviously, that's going to build faith. There is so many more things God wants to do through you, answers that God has, and the things that are needful right now. So dedicate in your walk, in your life. And the basic scriptures I'm giving today is John's Gospel 15 and 1 Timothy 2. Or even add into this again and again, Ephesians 3:20. It's all about becoming extraordinarily powerful in prayer. God bless you.